are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA Radio Voces Latinas, 1610 AM. Welcome to Mediation Station. The number to call us during the show is 416-785-0680. We present topics and guests to explore matters that take place in our daily lives. This is to provide you with options to make different decisions in a more informed manner. You can contact us at mediationstation at greggf@primus.ca and 647-227-4734. Thank you, Leah, for doing the boards. Our topic tonight is called, Making Decisions Within Relationships. And it's with two guests, and their names are Sue Chung and Nima Ahmed. We'll get with them in a short time. First, we have some other stuff to talk about. The Family Information and Mediation Program is available at each of the Family Law Information Centers located at family courts throughout Ontario. Information is available regarding separation, divorce, related family law issues, family justice services, options to going to court including mediation, local community resources, and court processes along with the forms to use when dealing with family law matters. There is also an advice council available for people to access for free legal advice on family law issues. Information and referral coordinators are available at the family courts to help you understand your needs and to make referrals to appropriate services in the community and in the family court system. They can give you information about family mediation and other options to deal with your matters, so you do not need to go to court or need to hire a lawyer. There are family information and mediation programs located at all three family courts in Toronto. The programs are called Mediate 393, located at 393 University Avenue, Mediate 311, located at 311 Jarvis Street, and Mediate 47, located at 47 Shepherd Avenue East. The office hours vary at each location from Monday to Friday, so the best thing to do is to call for more information at 416-593-5393 or email info@mediate393.ca or visit the website at www.mediate393.ca. Our friends at the Toronto Resource Center for Peaceful Conflict Resolution would welcome your visit at www.pcrtoronto.org. The website aims to promote values, ideas, and methods of nonviolent communication and peaceful conflict resolution worldwide, and to provide information about related resources available locally to Greater Toronto Area residents. The website also wishes to cover a wide spectrum of situations which could benefit from peaceful communication and conflict resolution skills, and to present thoughts of various cultures about the importance of peaceful coexistence. Again, the web address is www.pcrtoronto.org. Each Monday here at San Lorenzo at 22 Wenderley Drive, we have the San Lorenzo Community Mediation Program. It's a free service and confidential from 5 to 7 p.m. It's an opportunity for individuals experiencing tensions or struggles within a relationship to get some kind of support and work together in order to create some positive change on your circumstance, whether it's in the family, the community, workplace, anything that's you have a relationship with somebody and there's some kind of issue and you're not sure how to deal with it. So you can contact me at either greggf@primus.ca or at 647-227-4734. The Raffle of Hope is taking place here at San Lorenzo in support of the Caravan of Hope, and it's an opportunity to help support services with ambulances and school buses that have been retired through the City of Toronto here and donated down to Central and South America. Tickets are $10 as a donation. They're available here Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 22 Wenderley Drive, and you can have an opportunity to win one of five prizes: a 2013 Mazda car, a $2,000 cash prize, a $1,000 cash prize, a year of free maintenance on your vehicle, and the fifth prize is a 32-inch television set. The draw will take place on June 22nd at the Interremi Festival, which is the major fundraiser for Voces Latinas at the Interremi Festival, which takes place at Christie Park outside Bloor and Christie on the subway line in Toronto. Also, Healthy Minds Canada is raising funds to develop a fun scenario-based mobile game for youths ages 9 to 16 designed to increase empathy and teach coping skills regarding bullying. You can help them today by visiting healthymindscanada.ca and follow the instructions at the top of the page. Healthy Minds Canada is a national not-for-profit that raises money for research into mental health and substance abuse matters and education pieces for that too. Also want to promote a couple of colleagues. One, his name is Dave Hilton, and he's got a web television show in Texas. It's called The Conflict Specialist Show. You can access that at www.conflictshow.com. That's conflictshow.com. Conflictshow.com. Each week he records a program and then uploads it for access. And it's on various specialists, individuals in the conflict and conflict resolution field. And then there's another colleague in Texas called the Texas Conflict Coach, and that's Patty Porter. And she has a live web blog each Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Texas time or 8 p.m. Toronto time. And you can access that at www.texasconflictcoach.com. So that's it for that stuff. Leah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm fine. Looks like the weather's starting to change a bit.
Yes.
Yeah?
It's getting a little warmer.
Yeah. I mean, we hope, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Hope it stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, later when you do the weather for Mario, you know, he's going to want to have a good week forecast.
Yeah, I hope it's okay. I don't want snow on my birthday.
When's that magic day?
Saturday.
Next Saturday?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I remember one year there was snow on my birthday, and it wasn't fun.
Okay. Well, yeah. We don't have the forecast. It just goes to Friday.
Oh, no. That's so sad. But it's plus six. Oh, I don't want to ruin it.
All right.
Keep listening.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for that. So we're here tonight with a couple of guests, Sue Chan and Nima Ahmed, and we're going to talk about making decisions within relationships. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. So how about each of you, one at a time, share a little bit about your backgrounds. Start with you, Sue.
Sue. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay.
I got a shoe in my mouth, yeah.
Okay, so I am Korean-Canadian, and I graduated from the radio and television program at Ryerson University. Currently, I'm working with the JaneFinch.com website, which is a community website aimed towards sharing the positive aspects of the neighborhood and basically giving the youth in the neighborhood a platform to share their artistic skills and their voices. So what I do is I mainly focus on women and girls in the neighborhood and just raising awareness on the issues and the talents that they have. So,
right.
Yeah, that's mainly what I do.
Okay. And Nima?
Currently a student at York. I'm one of those professional students, but I enjoy it. I'm studying human rights and equity studies, and I've met Sue doing the City Leaders Program, so I'm definitely involved in quite a fair bit of community engagement and development work. I thoroughly enjoy working with youth. Youth and young adults are definitely a primary focus, and essentially a lot of my volunteering does go to women's issues as well, so I'm happy to be supporting many communities, and certainly enjoy working with the East African community, love my peoples.
Mm-hmm. And you two were just recently engaged, you as part of the project that I'm working with youth up in North Etobicoke, North York, called Turning Things Around, and you delivered a workshop for the 15 to 18-year-olds and the 19 to 24-year-olds on choices and decision-making.
Yes.
Yeah. It was great. Those kids are really nice.
Yeah, I feel like I've learned more than I was able to give
back.
Yeah.
I know.
They benefited from both of your presences there. Yeah. I just want to do a shout out too that I believe Sue is also going to be receiving a recognition in early May, YWCA Woman of Distinction Award.
Big.
Is that
things.
True? Is that a rumor?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, it's actually true.
It's a big deal. It's such a it's a great award to receive, especially to be acknowledged as a young woman in metropolitan Toronto. It's highly competitive, and I think it's a good thing to see someone who's in my range going.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get more into the topic for tonight. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM, Voces Latinas.
You are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, Radio Voces Latinas, 1610 AM.
Welcome back to Mediation Station. We're here talking about decision-making within relationships with our guests, Sue Chun and Nima Ahmed. And each of you, you know, for me, it's always interesting of what drives people. What are things that you're curious about in life?
Well, for me, I'm very curious and I'm very interested in the stories that people have of their own lives. So I really enjoy reading autobiographies and memoirs and things like that because they share a personal part of them that they wouldn't share socially, and I think that's important to know.
Are there any things like that that really raises more energy for you as part of, hey, I want to get more interested in or learn more about that?
Well, it's really fascinating to hear about people who have succeeded and been through so many difficulties throughout their life, and just learning about how they overcame those things, that's really inspiring for me, and I live off inspiration, so, yeah.
And you,
I find history is an important part for me. In order to know, I guess, to follow my imagination and the curiosity of the whatever the mystery is, I don't know. I think understanding the history is a pretty big part for me because I think it allows me the opportunity to regulate myself, so not coming to assumptions all the time and just kind of allowing things to unfold as they should and as they deserve to. So a little bit of background's good, but I like to just let things happen as they should.
Or when you see something, you have a realization that there must be more to there.
Yeah, always. It's magic. There's a lot of unknown, and it's good to be able to just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And
though that's a skill.
Yeah, huge.
A lot of people don't necessarily have as much of it as could be helpful.
No.
Right?
I have some to donate if anybody wants any.
You have too much skill?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a shout-out at the end of the show and do a donation for that.
Done.
All right. What helped influence in the way each of you makes decisions in your own lives?
I would have to say my parents. They're a huge resource of and wealth of knowledge for me and experience. They really taught me how to challenge myself, how to navigate in certain situations, and really taught me to tap into my own skill and hone in on my strengths in order to kind of offset or balance out my weaknesses. So it's gotten me through a lot of sticky times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I lived away from my parents since grade 7, so I think I looked to a lot of different mentors throughout my life, and they really presented me with a diverse range of opinions and perspectives that I was able to learn from and incorporate into my own life. So, yeah, mentors all the way.
When you have a lot of choices, how are you able to really identify which is the right choice for you?
It's tricky. But I think it comes down to looking at what your goal is in each situation, because each situation is really unique. And depending on what the goal is it something that you want for the group to benefit from, or for both parties to benefit from, or is it something that's more important for you to grow from? So, like, you kind of have to weigh the different outcomes and see what's most important in that situation?
I would have to give the same answer, because I think it's most important to address your own cost-benefit analysis of a situation, but also to understand the consequences and ramifications that it holds to other people. I like to think that, you know, it's an A plus B equals C situation, so I can't kind of rule out what could happen to the other person. And I think having that foresight and insight into what you do and what you say is makes things a lot easier to kind of understand how the other person might react or what it might do is in its impact.
So how do you deal with differences that happen in your lives?
I negotiate. I certainly try to compromise and cooperate. I think fairness is a huge part in negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it's really important to kind of come up with an end goal, which is a win-win situation, where while you benefit, the other person benefits as well. And I think that's way more fulfilling than when you selfishly do something or selflessly do something. Mm-hmm. So kind of have that balance.
What if you have the difference with somebody who doesn't necessarily have the same view or perspectives as what you're expressing now?
You can't win them all, honestly. Sometimes you got to just agree to disagree. If people have converging views, then by all means come together and collaborate and do great work together. But if it comes down to it where you're at the fork in the road, then it's usually best to go separate ways and try and find as much autonomy in each idea or in each decision as possible, because there's obviously something about it that doesn't want or need to be sacrificed. So by all means, if you can make it work separately, do it separately.
Mm-hmm. Well, relationships are about, you know, not only me and I, it's about us and we.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a mutuality about it, inclusivity about it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, though, we have relationships and we butt heads.
And if you keep butting heads and it doesn't work, then sometimes separate is better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's when to make that decision, of course. So what are the things that people tend to struggle with in their relationships?
Well, conflict, right? Conflict can come in the simplest forms, and it can be very complex. It can be as simple as, do you want to go see a movie or shopping, and disagree on that and go your separate ways? And it can become a lot more complex than that.
Or go nowhere.
Exactly. Stay home.
Yeah. I would have to say attachment and, like, dependence on each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes people look to others for all the answers, or they look to others to give them some sort of, I guess, confidence in their own decisions or acceptance. But I think understanding that about yourself is most important, because then you'll really get to understand how others influence.
A lot of times, though, individuals tend to, as you somewhat alluded to, provide that somebody else makes the decisions, and people maybe avoid or just don't acknowledge that they have the right to make those decisions for themselves. So, okay, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? You defer back to the other person. How healthy is that?
I think for time management, it's not very healthy at all. But in certain situations, I think it can pose a great danger.
In what way?
Well, I find, like, it's easy to lose your individuality in those situations when you're constantly looking for someone else to kind of feed you the answers and tell you what to do and boss you around and give you that guiding voice that diminishes your own voice, right? So you can't think for yourself in those situations, and especially when it does kind of get into darker areas, it's most important to listen to your own instincts and maintain that level of safety, right? So,
yeah, people tend to give up a lot of the ownership of their own decision making to others and live through other people. And then, you know, if there's something that they want to do, you know, that you've created a system already for yourself that doesn't give you any voice.
Exactly.
And you're living your life through, you know, somewhat of shell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a person, though you don't have that substantive presence to be able to voice who you are, what you want, to express yourself.
Free will's a big thing. super important.
Right. Exercise individuality. You know, individuality doesn't have to be or resort to what we call negative conflict.
Exactly.
It's all how something is done. You know, whether it goes down a positive or a
approach is everything. Yeah. Approach is really everything.
So we're not going to be able to get much into this, but mm-hmm. there's going to be, what's the difference with choice and decision?
I think you can word it better than I can, so.
Oh, come on, you have a choice, and you can make a decision on that.
Exactly. Right? What you said.
We learned this. We just learned this. And it's amazing that we learn this, especially in the work that we do, because I think coming from a world full of options and things and just overstimulation of stuff, knowing that you have options is important, but your decision is what makes those options materialize.
So let's explore that a little more. We're going to take a break.
Cool.
And it gives you a little time to reflect and process. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM, Voices Latinas.
You are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, Radio Voices Latinas, 1610 AM.
Okay, our topic tonight is called Decision Making Within Relationships with our guest Sue Chan and Nima Ahmed. And just before the break, I presented you something to think about. Is there a difference? What's the difference with the words and the meaning, choices and decisions?
I want to do a little bit better of a job than I did before. Okay, so choices, you have a list of options to choose from. You can decide whether or not they're best for you, but the decision is the actual action and the implementation of that choice with full intention behind it.
Right. A lot of times people say, that's the choice I made.
It's the decision
it's
you
the
made.
Decision.
Mm-hmm. That's the choice that I made the decision upon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Though people intermix the words and end up saying, that's the choice I made. It's choices are options, mm-hmm. possibilities. And then people end up deciding amongst one of those. And even when people feel they don't have a choice, they still have a choice.
Yeah.
To remain doing whatever they're doing, which may be inactive, it's still a choice, and then they act on it. If they implement it, put it into action, it's a decision.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Make sense?
It makes total sense.
There's like a realm of creativity, though, behind that, because sometimes your scope of understanding could be that your options are quite limited, when in fact you have much more behind it that you're not really paying attention to.
Yeah.
So
I like to use the symbolism of an iceberg representing a person or a situation. When you see an iceberg or you know of an iceberg, it's like a large mass if you know it fully. What you really see, though, is only 10%, the part that floats above the waterline. 90%, the majority, is below the waterline. So superimpose a person or situation with the same symbolism. What we see is what we get, or what is, or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. If I see you and walking down the street, is that representative of all you?
No.
Of course not.
Why not? What's missing?
I'm more than just a body.
More than what meets the eye.
Yeah, not just a pretty face, people.
That's right, and I'm lucky that, well, I don't know if I'm lucky. This is not on video, you know, we'd have so many more callers.
Dang, I know. It's an idea. Throw that out there.
I do want to record this video. That is a. I just need somebody to sit there and manually
press record.
Yeah, and switch amongst the guests. Yeah. So, you're more than what you are on the exterior, right? The superficial.
110%. There's a brain and organs and auditory. Yeah, I got everything under all this that you don't see. And it takes a lot of time to get to know a person.
Right.
A lot of experience. And
your feelings, your thoughts.
I got feelings. I got plenty of thoughts.
Right.
And they're all important to take into account before you can really come to understand somebody or me.
Yeah. So people have an option or can make a choice when they see somebody.
Yep.
On what to do about it, on whether they stay at the superficial or above the waterline, mm-hmm. and that's all they will know of that person, or they make a deliberate effort to make a different decision and go below the waterline to learn more about the person.
Yeah. It takes great care to do that, too, because it's you're putting energy into anything you do, right? So putting effort into getting to know someone's it's crucial to human connection.
Yeah, it all depends on your own interests, your wants, your needs, your desires.
Energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it depends on that person as well, how much they're willing to share, because even if you try, they might not be willing at all.
Yeah.
So
it's like having floaties on. They keep you at the top.
Yes, yeah, so you won't sink. You won't sink, right?
Yeah.
Sink. What's the idiom?
I said it's like having floaties on.
Yeah. So what types of differences are there for people in making decisions within a family relationship relative to making decisions within an intimate relationship?
I would have to say the needs, the aspirations. I mean, a parent has much different intentions behind what they choose as opposed to what their children are looking to do or setting out for themselves. But the dynamics in the relationship play a big part.
Yeah, I think the dynamic plays a very big part, especially the roles that you play within each relationship is very different. So in an intimate relationship versus a family relationship, obviously, because you're playing different roles and they're different to you, it's always going to be different. And I don't know how you can compare the two, though.
Do you approach, though, the relationship the same way? Because a family member and an intimate?
Well, you care for them in the same way, but I think you would approach situations in different ways.
You could. I mean, there's a level of, like, obedience from a parent-child relationship, but then I think, to some extent, you obey an intimate partner, too.
Right. Yeah.
But so, as like,
am I digging?
It's different.
Yeah, well...
Well,
there's similarities, but I think there are a lot of differences that come into play as well.
In what way, though? So that's the question.
Well, like I said, with the roles that you're dealing with, like, for example, you brought up father and then, say, a boyfriend, the way you would deal with each person would be very different, and the situations that would arise in the conflict or anything like that would be totally different, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If the approach of the other person is different, though, I think that makes a difference. So you could have an aggressive parent, and you would react, you know, very defensively, and you could have an aggressive spouse or partner, and you would react defensively. But at the same time, there's some level of obedience that you give to that person in order for them to feel that they could have that moment of
part of you.
Ownership, yeah, or to be able to be a dominant person in a conversation. So
do we take from our other relationships, like i.e. the family ones, when we have a process of making decisions, and apply those to our other relationships?
Certainly. I mean, you learn about the world from your home, right? Your siblings teach you how to make friends, and your parents teach you how to be, you know, whether or not you're streamed into a particular gender or whatnot, but they teach you how to be ladylike or how to be gentlemanly, and, you know, the kinds of things you should aspire towards, because that's what society and the outside world values. So that certainly molds the kind of person or player you are in intimate settings as well.
So what are the matters that people are the most affected by when they make decisions or try to make decisions within a relationship?
Nowadays, I would say money. I think finances unfortunately play a big role in some people's relationships, whether it's intimate or not. I mean, when you present yourself as being someone who's financially responsible, you're considered to be, you know, an ideal partner or a model, you know, child. But I think sometimes when you're a bit reckless, people kind of make assumptions about what your habits are, what your lifestyle is, and, you know, the kind of person that you're putting off on the outside that you want to be, when in actuality that could just be you dealing with your place in the world and the role or image that you want or trying to put off.
Are you going through a struggle of some sort?
No, no. I'm leveled out.
No, not you. Just the statement in general when people are going through those moves of negotiation of some sort.
Well, it's difficult finding stability in yourself, right? So when you're trying to portray stability, I mean, you're attempting to meet some kind of a status quo, right? So
how did, for you, how did you get the confidence to feel assured that, you know, the decisions you make are the ones that you want to commit to?
Because I believe in myself. I mean, my parents have always raised me to be someone who either acts or speaks out of conviction. So if I don't care enough or if I don't want it enough, then that's not what I'm going to speak about or do, right? So, I mean, I have to be confident in the decisions I make because I stand by what I feel. So certainly in many situations, if it means something to me, then most definitely I'll see it through to the end. So...
Don't we have a lot of people, though, that are surrounding us who may not have the same confidence level, who somewhat test us in terms of our confidence level with those decisions? Are you sure? Is that really what you want?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they're better to use those voices as a means of understanding what your choices are, what possible decisions you could make, but at the end of the day, you're the only person that faces the consequences of action. So
of your own.
Of my own. So I can't blame anybody else for something I say or do. It's entirely my responsibility.
Yeah.
So being accountable is staying convicted in what you do and what you choose.
Yeah, and living true to yourself.
100%.
And that's really the most powerful thing there can be.
Mm.
When you walk the talk.
Right?
Yeah, walk the talk.
Yeah. So how are we affected when we make poor decisions within a relationship? What are the consequences or the risks?
I'd say you get sad. It's disappointing when you're not acting the way you hoped or being the person that you dreamt. I think people have a strange idea sometimes about who they're supposed to be in situations. So letting go of relationships or letting go of mistakes is hard for some people to accept when that's really part of the rejuvenating process of relationships or of life, is making mistakes and being able to learn from them to better for the next potential opportunity.
And it's definitely, before disappointing, I feel like it's not satisfying. It's just... It'll always constantly bug you if you're not being true to yourself. And I think it's hard to make that leap. And but I feel like once you do make that leap, it's so much more satisfying and just, yeah.
And terrifying in a
it
mix
is,
of it
first,
all.
Yeah. But then once you get through that, it's liberating.
I'm hearing a voice. Do you hear a voice? Do you know where that's coming from?
Hello?
Hi. Is there a caller?
Yes.
Wow, we didn't hear the phone ring.
This must okay. Be...
Hi, caller. That was virtual.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
Okay, and you? What can we do for you?
I just have a question, because I've been listening to what you guys have been saying.
Sure.
Your talk on relationships. So this is for all of you. Do you believe that we carry similar relationships from our family, from our own family unit? So like a pattern almost, like we carry it into different relationships / friendships and intimate relationships. Does that make sense?
Most definitely. I think it becomes habit. So I think when you are used to being a certain way with somebody, you either kind of hope or make an assumption that other people can also mesh into that as well. But you find out the hard way, I think, when you realize that some people don't share those same experiences and that same malleability in their character or their personality to adapt to what you are used to. So might hit a wall.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I feel like even me, myself and Nima, we come from two different backgrounds, where Nima had a lot of family around her to learn and grow from, whereas I virtually grew up by myself. I'm an only child, and I lived away from my parents for the most part of my life. And I feel like that really reflects on my relationship with other people, whether it be intimate or friends or any other relationship. And I think it kind of shows that I tend to be a bit more closed off.
She's a quiet one.
So, yeah, definitely I think it affects your relationships. And
it ripples into others.
Yeah,
sure.
The ones that we have in our early stages of our lives leave a legacy for us as part of when we're older.
Definitely.
Yes.
Good question.
Awesome. Thanks for answering.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, we're going to go to a break very soon, and then we'll come back and we'll have the last segment for tonight.
Cool.
Do you want this to last longer?
Forever.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens, at least for 15 minutes. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM, Voices Latinas.
You are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, Radio Voices Latinas, 1610 AM.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking with Suchan and Neem Ahmed, and decision-making within relationships. If you do want to give us a call, you can do so at 416-785-0680. I see Leah's got her hand on the phone, and I don't know if that's a real caller or they're just looking to order pizza or what. But
if it's pizza.
It's a friend.
Why, are you guys hungry? Or?
Oh, God, I'm so full right now.
So what do you do when someone you're close with is considering making a decision you totally disagree with?
Well, I think it's really important for you to be able to give them some sort of advice from your own perspective, but ultimately they're their own person, and if they refuse till the end to not listen to you, then I think it's important to let them make that mistake. It might not end up being a mistake, but just let them
or make that decision.
Decision, yes. And yeah, and just see for themselves and learn from that.
I would agree. I mean, you got to give your friends the benefit of the doubt to be able to make their own decisions and, you know what's best for them at the end of the day. But I think for me, being on the other end of it, all I can do is equip you with as much information, as much, you know, ideas as possible that you could take into account, and just let you know I'll be there with tissue if you need me to, you know?
Right. I mean, people have choices, right? And maybe a choice that you're not in agreement with, you can influence it. They have to live with whatever decision of those choices they make.
Yeah.
Right? So it's helpful for you to be supportive in some form. I believe we have a caller. Hi, caller. You there?
Hello, this is Jenny. How are you?
Hi, Jenny. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very excited to be calling on the radio show this evening.
Appreciate it. What can we assist you with?
Well, I'm calling to connect. I haven't been able to follow the conversation very well, so I apologize. But I understand it's about decision-making in relationships.
Right, yes.
And so what I'm thinking is I'm always asking the question, is there such thing as 50-50 in relationships, at least in marriage relationships? And if we can maybe discuss a little bit about that in the next few minutes.
Sure. What do you guys want to say?
To be honest, I think out of my personal experience, everything should be 50-50. That's like the dream situation. But I think sometimes you really do have to give a little bit more and take a little bit more. It's like a positive and negative feedback situation. So, you know, when the time calls for it, then certainly if you have more and you want to give more, then give more. But in times where you yourself need more, then by all means, you shouldn't feel afraid to ask for a little bit more. But certainly anywhere close to the middle is best.
I agree. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I agree with what Nima said. I think within each situation, there, in a perfect world, there would be 50-50, but usually there isn't. But I think that in the overall relationship, there can be a 50-50 if you consider different situations and, like Nima said, give a little, sometimes take a little more at other times, and yeah, and it evens out, I feel.
Well, so what I'm hearing you say is that we should all have a 50-50 vote, but in some situations there's a give and take, so it might be a 70-30.
It's like, you know, you find things that your ideal is to reach, right? The 50-50 or the equal. Mm-hmm. Life is not so simply cut. We try to make it more equitable or more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's where more favorable for one person in some way, and then another time in another way with the other person.
Exactly.
And it never cuts straight as a 50-50. And it's also very subjective. Each individual may decide for themselves, I'm okay with my decisions that provide you to have this in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And we work together. You know, the ideal is to communicate effectively.
And to respect throughout, right? I think it's crucial that you let the other person know that, you know, at the end of the day, there's no negative intention behind the decision. It's you're either support or being supported, but that you're working cohesively and symbiotically together.
Okay, is that helpful, Jenny?
That is very helpful. Thank you for your help.
Thanks for calling in tonight.
You have a fantastic evening.
You too.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right,
bye.
Bye. So how would you just suggest that people who want to make better decisions, what can you suggest for them?
Honestly, try to use as much insight and foresight as possible in situations. I'm not saying when you walk into something just to say, oh, I think I know how this is going to turn out, but certainly to keep your eyes and ears open and to effectively listen, you have to really hear what someone's saying. And if you have to ask questions and ask questions, but, you know, to really understand, you know, how to regulate yourself, you have to have all the information you possibly can account for.
And, yeah, I think it's really important to be able to see the bigger picture and mm-hmm. not just yourself and not just the person you're dealing with or in a relationship with. It's you need to consider everything like Nima just said. And, yeah.
And be open.
Yeah.
Yes.
Open-mindedness,
right? It's not all about me.
Yeah, open-mindedness is key because you never know what the other person might need from you in a conversation or what you might need to give up in a conversation to really inform them and keep them engaged.
And it's so much more rewarding to be enriched
yeah.
with other people as part of your own situation.
Yeah.
And people's differences, their individualities, you know, we can be enhanced and rewarded with the things that other people have that we don't have in some form.
Sharing good energy vibrates beyond the two of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in order to keep that kind of good energy contagious, it's about putting that off yourself and putting it out there to keep it going.
So what message would you like to leave listeners with regard about tonight's topic?
Wow, this is the deep moment of the night.
Yeah, and we're going to hold you to it, too.
Okay, well, if I could tell anybody anything, I think it's keeping positivity in mind is key. I mean, no matter how stressed out you are or how, you know, difficult life could be, is understanding that there's always a positive option and there's always a better way to put your thoughts and your energy and your words out there, because at the end of the day, they do have some impact. So definitely put caution and good energy to everything that you do and all you interact with. Be kind.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to always remember that you, like we've been saying, you always have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
In desperate situations, you feel like, oh, I don't have a choice, I'm just going to go this way. But just always know that you have a choice and just
stick
love yourself.
Stick by your decisions.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And love yourself and just consider your own needs as well as others and look at the bigger picture and make sure that you strive towards the positive.
Yeah, greatness.
Yes.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's also about change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In order to create change, people have to open themselves up.
Exactly.
They have to take a little bit of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make themselves somewhat vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really fearful for a lot of people.
Definitely.
Though the rewards on the other side can be so much greater than staying
sure.
in a situation that you're not happy with.
For sure. Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. It means everything.
Yeah.
And you said it too.
I did just say it.
Yeah, you did. So I want to thank each of you for coming here tonight and being on the air and sharing.
Thanks
so
much for having us, Greg.
Thank
this
you.
Is awesome.
Yeah? Did you like the experience?
I did. It's not as nerve-wracking as I thought.
No, we don't get you to focus on all your feelings and how you're built up in anxiety
yeah.
of being here.
Yeah.
You know, we distract you and then
just hang out.
You get in the moment and then you get connected with it and you know, saying, hey, it's already over.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, time flies.
Right? So thanks for coming on the Sunday night. And
thank you.
We'll see what else we can do in the future.
Thanks.
So, listeners, you want to tune in, make sure you do each week, Sunday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can contact us at Mediation Station at 647-227-4734 or send an email to greggf@brimus.ca. Have a good night and good week. And we're not on air next week. There's a preemption for other coverage, and we'll return on April 13th, Talking Circles. And that's the focus. So see you sometime on Monday.